You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Recorded in Chicago, Illinois, with your hosts, Ken, Matt, Neil, and Jeff, this is Triviality.
Hello and welcome to Triviality, the game where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge. My name is Ken, I'm in the studio with Jeff. What's up?
Same old, same old.
Missing Neil today.
Yeah, we're going to be missing Neil today.
But luckily, on the computer screen, we have the deciding Oscar Best Picture voter for 1998. Matt!
Is that what I am?
Yes.
What did you go with?
It was between Private Ryan and Shakespeare in Love, and you said, nope, Shakespeare in Love.
Oh, yeah. I would have gone with a late vote for Space Jam.
Oh, okay. Was that 1998 eligible as well?
No, it's 96 maybe. No.
But vote for Space Jam every year. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I thought you didn't want any Space Jam references or
questions. It's been like a year. It could come back.
Okay. What about Captain Planet? Still in or?
No, still
out.
Still void, yeah.
Okay, that's too bad. But we got a great lineup of guests here today to fill the void that Neil has left, right?
We do indeed. In fact, we have two wonderful guests lined up for us today. Let's start out with the competitor who will be pairing up with one of us, Taylor Cook. Doesn't really need much more of an introduction than that. Custom patron level. Don't even know what that means. Neil just wrote it down on the left. So how you doing today?
It means he's special.
He is special.
Oh, I'm doing great. Yeah, sorry. Just hanging out. Looks pretty out today, even though it's very, very cold. At the time of the recording anyway, but no, otherwise I'm just living life, and it's pretty slow these days. Have a new baby. She's 5 months old. So that's been taking up most of my time.
Is this your 20th time on the podcast now? Are you counting?
I've lost count at this point. I don't know if it's been that many, but we're probably closer to that than zero. So
I think we're probably above 10.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
It's an interesting way to say the same thing Taylor just said. And I appreciate that. Yeah, glad to have you back on.
Statistics.
Filled in a little last minute, but we always appreciate you jumping in here. And, of course, we can't have an awesome game without an awesome host. So coming to us from Santa Rosa up in Northern California, Oakland 5 supporter, Corey Uhald. How are you doing, Corey?
Doing great. It is not looking so nice out the window here, but it's not going to prevent me from going to hit the golf course later this afternoon. So great day.
So why don't you tell the folks at home a little bit about yourself for those who may not have caught you on the last episode?
Yeah, I'm happy to join the famous two-timers club here today. I'm a high school teacher in Redwood City. It's about 20 miles south of San Francisco, credentialed in social studies, but I do teach leadership and student activities at the high school there, juggling those obligations with two kids at home, also almost 4-year-old and an almost 1-year-old. So they are keeping me young and aging me at exactly the same time.
So the two-timers Triviality Club doesn't quite get the jacket, right? But they get one left sock.
Yeah, they get like part of a lapel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe a slap bracelet.
One cuff link without the backing.
Just gonna throw this out there that the Triviality Slap Bracelet is an idea that definitely should make a comeback.
Okay, so we'll think about that one. Matt, are you going with Taylor today? The dream
Seems
team?
Seems like it. Yes.
Yeah,
it
sounds great. I don't think we've ever paired up before, so I'm excited for that one.
We'll see how this goes. We're gonna be Triviality Taylor's version.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we decided, you know, there was some legal kind of mix up with, you know, the recordings and who has the rights to what. So we decided to take it back.
All right. So we got Taylor's version, and we'll be Chinese Democracy 30th anniversary special edition. So we'll be 30th anniversary. And without further ado, let's grab the rules.
The rules of the game are simple. 20 questions split into two rounds worth 10 points apiece. At halftime, there'll be a special swing round designed by this week's host. After regulation, players will enter the final round with the points that they've accumulated and will have a chance to wager 0 to 30 points on 5 categorized questions. At the end of the game, someone will be named the cream of the crop.
I am the cream.
Okay, that's how the game is played, and it looks like we're ready to go. So, Corey, you want to take it away?
Yeah, I'll try to mitigate the bad blood between the two teams here and shake it off and start. So, we've got a couple of rounds here. This is round one. It's a general knowledge round. We'll provide categories, which may or may not help you get to an answer from an alternative perspective. So, this is question one in the category of general knowledge. And our little category for this question is Ahoy. And the question, what is the name of the national drink of Argentina? This traditional caffeine-rich infused herbal drink is made by soaking dried leaves in hot water and is traditionally served in a calabash gourd with a metal straw, though typically consumed from more aluminum vessels in the United States.
I know some hippies, so I'm locked in.
Okay, so he knows some hippies. That leads me to kombucha. Were you thinking, is that a possibility?
I don't know if kombucha has much caffeine in it. Didn't he say it was highly caffeinated?
That is true.
Yeah. I, for as much as I like to think I know about stuff that people drink, I don't know if I know about this beverage.
I don't think I have a good guess.
Yeah. I'm not really pulling anything either. We can say kombucha. It's going to be wrong, but at least it's a guess. Yeah.
It comes with, it's fermented something or other. Yeah. So we'll go with kombucha. Yeah,
let's do that.
So kombucha is a fermented tea. This is brewed like a tea, but it's not actually in the tea family, and it's called mate, which is spelled the same as mate. So ahoy, mate, mate.
Mm. Oh.
That is correct, both in the tea family, but mate or yerba mate would be the correct answers for that.
I have heard of yerba mate. Yep.
All right, question number two. Question number two, the category here is play it again. Play it again. In the year 2022, Aaron Judge of the New York Yankees posted the 9th ever season by a player with at least 60 home runs. That's 6-0 in a single season. What single player has 3 of those 9 seasons?
Locked in.
Would this be the man with the cork in his bat?
Well, I assume if you're going to
allegedly,
sorry.
Well, actually, they found it when his bat broke.
If you're gonna play as
the cork in his bat and the human growth hormone in his veins,
I would assume if you're going to play it again,
Sam,
it would be Sam.
Yeah,
Sammy slamming Sammy.
Yeah, are we Sammy. Right? At one point, Sammy was responsible for, I believe, like 45% of all 60 home run seasons. But we've had a couple since then. So yeah. Sammy, slamming Sammy.
Yeah, he may or may not have been the only one with a cork bat, but he definitely allegedly did. And it is Sammy Sosa, 3 of those 60 home run seasons.
The funny thing is that actually shows no evidence that it's a better hit either. So, like, he was just handicapping himself for no reason.
Well, it's supposed to make the bat lighter so you could swing harder is the idea behind the corking.
Faster swing speed, right?
Yeah.
As a former high school baseball coach, I know all about the corking and making bats illegal and trying to skirt the rules and stuff.
Yeah, stick to pine tar, right? That's how we do it in high school.
Okay, question number three. Question number three, the category is a new city. And the question, what was the first Disney film to be turned into a Broadway musical? The musical debuted in 1994. 3 years after the premiere of the animated film and ran for 13 years. There's also a what I'm calling a secrets bonus question. So 2 additional points available here if you find that first part too easy. An entirely new song called The Change in Me was added to the musical in 1998 when what R&B singer with number one hit singles, You're Making Me High, Let It Flow, and Unbreak My Heart, joined the cast in the principal role.
All right, so they're locked in. We've gone through a few options going through over the timeline. It looks like, what would you say, Aladdin?
I think that seems pretty close to that time frame.
Okay, so yeah. We're going to go with Aladdin and Toni Braxton as the singer.
Okay, we weren't sure on the singer, but we were trying to nail down the 91 release, and the closest we could get, we think, is Aladdin, but we're not sure.
All right, so we have a couple of guesses for Aladdin and Toni Braxton. The correct answer here, the new city, if you were thinking about French translations, that's Villeneuve, as I screw up my pronunciation, but that's the author of a 1740 novel called Beauty and the Beast,
which
is the movie we're looking for, 1991 animated release. And the singer who joined the Broadway cast is Toni Braxton.
I thought Beauty and the Beast was just a little later.
Maybe I was getting didn't even consider years it. Mixed up. Yeah,
that's okay.
All right, next question. This is a two-answer question, so I'll give you 5 points for each one. And because there are two separate answers, I was not smart enough to write a clue that would serve both of them. So there's no category, but there are two correct answers. You can get 5 points for each correct one. I'm looking for, there are two Latin American women, and only two, who have won an Academy Acting Award. Both are for Best Supporting Actress. The first was in 1961. The second was in 2013. So I'll give you 5 points for each of the two Latin American women to win Academy Best Supporting Actress Awards. So just to add one clarifying point, this would be the 2014 Oscars ceremony celebrating 2013 films.
Let's
locked in.
Okay. Do you want to go with that answer?
So I think we don't have many options for the 1961 one, and you said a name that sounded like a classically trained actor. So we said Ava Perón. That's what we'll lock in with. And then the 2013 one kicked around some names. You want to go with Michelle Rodriguez?
Let's do it.
Okay. Michelle Rodriguez and Ava Perón.
Okay. We're pretty sure on the older one is Rita Moreno. And for the newer one, I can't quite nail it down, but we're going to say Penelope Cruz. I know she's been nominated a bunch of times. I don't know if she won for supporting.
Too. Yeah, that was our other guess.
We also said Selma Hayek, perhaps, but I can't remember specifically her winning for supporting either.
So we have a couple of guesses here. This is sort of the weird trivia question where I think that the older one is actually the easier one to get. It is Rita Moreno for West Side Story. She won Best Supporting Actress, 1961. The second film, I do believe Penelope Cruz has won an Oscar, though she is Spanish and not technically American. This difficult one is... it's tough to pull, but she is a Mexican-Kenyan actress.
Oh, Lupita Nyong'o.
This is Lupita Nyong'o.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, that Rita Moreno, I was like, it's going to be a name I've heard before, and I just didn't think of her as Latin American for whatever reason.
All right, on to question five.
Great. With question five, maybe we'll move back towards the wheelhouses. This is I Have a Dream. And the question... The Chicago Bulls famously won 6 NBA titles between 1991 and 1998, the first from 91 to 93, after which Michael Jordan stepped away to try his hand at baseball. MJ returned to lead the Bulls to another three-peat during the 96, 97, and 98 seasons. Which NBA franchise won back-to-back titles while Jordan was away?
I'm going to say I believe we're locked in for Matt's sake.
Yeah.
The category was I Have a Dream, so would that be the Kings?
Yeah, I believe it was the Sacramento Kings.
Okay, we're locked in then.
Oh, that makes me sad. The Kings have never won. I believe they won maybe when they were in Rochester. No, the Dream in question is Hakeem the Dream, who played for the Rockets.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Well, I wasn't going to get that anyway, so...
That is correct. Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon, center and Hall of Famer from the Houston Rockets, who won those two titles in Jordan's absence.
Thanks for giving two sports questions so we have some points. It's a rough first half for us.
As I mentioned in the last game, if I could write an entirely sports game, that would be my wheelhouse. So,
All right. It's been blow for blow so far in the first five questions. It's 25 for 30th anniversary and 22 for Taylor's version.
Great. We'll move on to question number six. And this is in traditional before and after formatting. So I'll provide two clues. They overlap. And the category is legend, wait for it, Mary. And your question is, a television series debuting in 2005 featuring the life reflections voiced by Bob Saget about encounters with an Albanian Indian founder of the Missionaries of Charity and winner of the 1979 Nobel Prize.
So this would also be a show I'd watch. And how did we meet your mother, Teresa? I believe that's what it is. So how, yes, I met your mother, Teresa.
We said the same thing.
So it looks like the wheelhouse is just writing before and after questions about 2000s TV sitcoms. So there we are. That is How I Met Your Mother, Teresa. That is what we're looking for there. Okay, question number seven. Question seven, and the hint, or the, I shouldn't say the hint, the category, may or may not be a hint, is, oh, I just can't wait to change my name by a letter. And the question is, what is the name of the first web browser for Macintosh operating systems? It was introduced in 1992 and takes its name from a popular genre of Afro-Brazilian dance music and is also the name of a popular Adidas indoor soccer shoe line.
So he said, I just can't wait to change my name by one letter.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It all clicks
so
for me.
Is that like a Lion King hint? I just can't wait to be king and then it's Bing? No?
I know Bing is the Microsoft.
You got a better guess?
No.
All right. We're in with Bing.
Yeah. So I actually played a lot of indoor soccer as a child, and I had several iterations of this shoe. I believe it's also the name of a dance, which would be Samba, S-A-M-B-A, which Simba would be one letter different. So Samba.
We're on these clues, but we're missing it by a little bit.
I'm tempted to award partial creativity credit for Bing. Yeah. I haven't got that. Brainstorming, I like that. But this is Samba, which is the Afro-Brazilian dance and also the name of an indoor soccer shoe.
I used to have those too.
All right, that takes us to question number eight in the category of streaming of consciousness. And the question, what word fulfills all three of the following clues? One, a Danish jewelry manufacturer. Two, a symbol in Greek mythology cautioning against curiosity. And three, a fictional moon that provides the setting for James Cameron's Avatar.
We're locked in.
I think I'm one of seven people who's still never seen Avatar.
Make it eight, Matt.
The only thing I can remember, I had never saw the second one. And the first one I saw, 2009. So it's been, what, 15 years now? Wow. I know that
don't say that 2009 was 15 years ago.
I know the tribe were called the Na'vi, I remember, but I don't mm-hmm. know the
and then the Danish jeweler.
Oh, it's Pandora.
Oh,
it's like Pandora's box, right?
Oh, you don't want to open definitely,
and Pandora's a jeweler. Yeah, I think. Yeah, mm-hmm. Let's go with Pandora.
The Ungiven Clue music streaming service from a little while back. Yeah,
it still exists. Pandora. Just nobody uses it.
And the category was sort of given, streaming of consciousness, which was there as well. So this is Pandora. So successfully fills all four of those clues, actually.
Are we on Pandora? Does anyone know? Can you listen to us on Pandora?
We don't know.
We don't know. If you're listening to us on Pandora, please let us know at trivialitypodcast@gmail.com.
All right. Number nine, the category is forever, and I can spell that upon request. The question, what is the name of the fictional group created in 1999 as a satire of boy bands like NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys that were part of a self-titled MTV movie and a spin-off television series. Songs from their debut album include Say It, Don't Spray It, Rub One Out, and You Plus Me Equals Us.
Matt's locked in.
Yeah, I know my calculus.
What was the name of that? Boys Forever. So I can't pull it. I've seen the movie. I just can't. I blocked it out. It's too stupid. I can't remember what it's called.
It was one of the other singles that he didn't list, obviously, because it says the name of their band is Together with a two.
Right. Yeah.
That is correct. It is Together.
To Get Her, yeah.
Oh. clever.
All right. Question number 10 to wrap up round number one. Category is leaving no crumbs behind. Shopska salad is a cold salad composed principally of tomatoes, cucumbers, onions, and topped with a white brine cheese called siren. While the dish is widely popular throughout southeastern Europe, it's claimed as the national dish of what country, as the colors of the salad recall the nation's flag?
All right, looks like we're locked in.
All right, Matt. Well, the ingredients are red, green, and white, right?
Yeah.
So that narrows it down.
That's several.
I don't think it's Italy. Well, I think Hungary's color is red, white.
Yeah, I was going to say that as well. And the category, leave no crumbs behind, because you'd be hungry. Also, he spelled crumbs with a K. I don't know if that means anything.
It could mean something.
Yep, we locked in with Hungary as well.
So leaving no crumbs behind would presume to lead us to Hungary. This actually came out from a slightly different one. So the reason it is spelled K-R-U-M is it's a reference to the J.K. Rowling
Victor Crumb.
Character Victor Crumb. Yeah. And if you recall, he is from Bulgaria. Bulgaria is what we're looking for there.
And Taylor's version is surging ahead at the end of the second round. They have 62 points, 30th anniversary, 45 points. But, Matt, it's still anybody's game, right?
It is anyone's game. I've heard that.
Before we move on to the swing round, just want to remind you about our lovely Patreon. If you're already a Patreon supporter, we thank you. And you're not actually hearing this because all our Patreon episodes are ad-free, right?
They are indeed.
And if you want those ad-free episodes, any amount on Patreon is ad-free. But if you want all of our bonus episodes, which we're doing one a week now, which is pretty awesome, we rate trivia questions and do our Ask Me Anything style crop drops, that's at $5. Above that, you get character boxes, gift boxes, posters, etc. Great stuff over at Patreon. Please join us at patreon.com/trivialitypodcast and become a Patreon member. And Taylor is proudly holding up his Patreon box. All right, Corey, let's move on to the swing round. What do you have for us?
All right, so the swing round, I'm going to throw some questions at you. The title of this round is also a Ford model. So I'm going to give you 10 clues. Each of them has an answer, but that answer is also the name of a vehicle produced by the auto manufacturer Ford. Question number one. A 2015 American crime dramedy where suave con man Nikki Spurgeon takes an aspiring femme fatale under his wing, starring Will Smith and Margot Robbie. Question number two. A shared track title for singles off of Metallica's 1984 Ride the Lightning, Hoobastank's 2003 The Reason, and Rupert Holmes' 1979 Partners in Crime. Number three, a British men's adult softcore pornography and erotica magazine specializing in non-professional photographs, many submitted by the magazine's readers. Number four, a reaction in which two or more atomic nuclei, usually deuterium and tritium, hydrogen variants, combine to form one or more different atomic nuclei and subatomic particles. Next, a member of a Texas law enforcement agency, also known as the Tejanos Diablos. Number six, the first Black American superhero in mainstream American comics, first introduced in 1969. Number seven, a free and open source email client software from Mozilla. Next, the ring name of Canadian professional wrestler Adam Joseph Copeland, the first professional wrestler to claim victories in King of the Ring, Money in the Bank, and the Royal Rumble events. Next, a line of ceramic glazed dinnerware noted for its Art Deco styling and its range of often bold, solid colors. Number 10, Israel's largest brewer and second largest beverage company, producing beers including Gold Star and Maccabi. And I threw just one extra one on there for the heck of it. a featured DJ on the Beat 102.7 in the Grand Theft Auto video game series on the tracks Grand Theft Auto, The Lost and the Damned, and Grand Theft Auto, The Ballad of Gay Tony.
Jeff thought this was going to be easy, but I'm sure we can come up with a few of these at least as we think about these, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
And we are back, and we have our answers, some of them correct and some of them maybe not so correct, but we will see in a moment. Go ahead and give us our questions one more time, and we'll see what we came up with.
Okay, great. So the category of the round is also a Ford model. So every one of our answers has a disambiguation answer and is also the name of a Ford model car. Number one, a 2015 American crime dramedy where suave con man Nikki Spurgeon takes an aspiring femme fatale under his wing, featuring Will Smith and Margot Robbie.
We said Focus.
And we went with Maverick.
Points for one team here. This is Focus is the name of that film.
We knew Focus was a Ford. I don't know why we didn't go with that.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Oh, we have a lot written down here that we didn't go with, so we'll see.
Number two, I'm looking for a track title for singles from Metallica's 1984 Ride the Lightning, Hoobastank's 2003 The Reason, and Rupert Holmes' 1979 Partners in Crime. The Rupert Holmes album specifically, that song is well known, but often known as something else.
Yeah, the second we heard Rupert Holmes, I don't know why we didn't think of it.
I don't know either. You know, the funny thing is thinking about Ride the Lightning is a variant of two different Ford F-150 models. But we said Escape, which I think is the Pina Colada song.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we like getting caught in the rain here, too. We said Escape.
Yoga and champagne aplenty. This is Escape. Very good. Question number three. A British men's adult softcore pornography and erotica magazine that specializes in non-professional photographs, many of them submitted by the magazine's readers.
Proud to say, Ken, we didn't know this one. but what did we guess?
Explorer.
Mm. We know British people like beans a lot, so we said Pinto. No, I'm just kidding. We actually said Escort because it sounded like it might be a magazine.
Oh, I forgot about the Ford Escort.
Escort is the correct answer for number three.
And we are proud Bowl that we knew that. Over there.
Taylor's a subscriber. Yeah, we'll.
All right, number four. A reaction in which two or more atomic nuclei, usually deuterium and tritium, combine to form one or more different atomic nuclei and subatomic particles.
We said fusion.
Yeah, known as the Mondeo in England.
Yeah, I almost bought one of these cars before I was tricked into buying a brand new car at the Kia dealership, and we said fusion.
And that is fusion, kind of like that clue, because it sounds pretty tough, and then you think about it like, oh, it's got to be that. Number five, a member of a Texas law enforcement agency. They're also known as Tejanos Diablos.
We said the Rangers, Ranger.
We also said Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yeah, I initially had Walker in the clue and then thought there was no thinking necessary to get there. This is Ranger is what we're looking for. Number six, I need the name of the first Black American superhero in mainstream American comics, first introduced to the world in 1969.
Yeah, we think this is a discontinued model that would have been out about the same time, and we think this is Falcon.
Yep, coming strictly from the superhero angle, we said Falcon.
Yeah, a stalwart of the recent MCU universe. This is the Falcon. That brings us to number seven, a free and open source email client software from Mozilla.
We said Thunderbird.
We also said Thunderbird. Thought it sounded more like the Firefox kind of name scheme.
And that's kind of where we were at. It's a name scheme in the family of Firefox. This is the Thunderbird. Very good. Number eight, the ring name of Canadian professional wrestler Adam Joseph Copeland, the first professional wrestler to claim victories in King of the Ring, Money in the Bank, and Royal Rumble events. Not each one, but to have all three.
Just hoping Matt will confirm that this is Edge.
The rated R superstar, Edge.
Flipped a coin between going this route or guitarist from U2, but I went with the wrestling angle, so this is Edge. I think the musician is The Edge, so I wouldn't want to complicate things because it wasn't before The Edge.
First name, so. The.
Right. Number nine, a line of ceramic glazed dinnerware noted for its Art Deco styling and its range of often bold, solid colors.
And its noted near indestructibility. This is Fiesta ware.
Yeah, pretty sure the Fiesta. Pretty sure the orange stuff is expensive because I think it's radioactive. So we said Fiesta ware as well.
Successfully fulfilling a three-year-old pledge to my wife to include Fiesta wear somewhere in a trivia game that I wrote. So there it is. Fiesta is what we're looking for there of Fiesta wear. Number 10, probably a challenging one, but Israel's largest brewer and the second largest beverage company in the country. It produces beers including Gold Star and Maccabee.
We went with Tempo.
Ooh, that sounds good. This one's a complete guess. We just figured you might have it on here somewhere, and we said Mustang.
It's also the Italian word for time and translates into musical terminology as beats per minute. This is the Ford Tempo. Tempo. And finally, number 11, a featured video game voice. This is outside of my range of expertise, but I was able to look it up successfully. Who appears in the Grand Theft Auto series, including Grand Theft Auto 4, Grand Theft Auto The Lost and the Damned, and Grand Theft Auto The Ballad of Gay Tony. What is that DJ's name?
We just thought of a Ford model that sounds like a good DJ name, and we said Flex.
We said DJ Puma.
Points to one team here. This is Funkmaster Flex.
Oh, wow. That's a name I know.
Very nice.
That's a shame.
Wow. Good pull.
At the end of the swing round, looks like Taylor's version still holds a slight lead at 102, but 30th anniversary creeping up with 95 points.
Closing that gap, Ken.
Yep.
All right. We are neck and neck, as they say, proverbially. We'll head to our second full general knowledge round. No category hints here, although you can do some work on your own and maybe find them. Number one, I'm looking for... What golf club features a famous three-hole stretch over its 11th, 12th, and 13th holes that's known as Amen Corner? The club has a controversial history when it comes to treatment of minorities and women and did not admit its first female members until 2012. Also, because each of these questions doesn't have a category, I'm going to give every one of them has a two-point bonus attached to it, just so a little separation for the teams. So the two-point bonus here, if you can name either of those two women admitted in 2012 as the inaugural female members.
Okay, they're locked in. Do you have an idea on this one?
I do not.
I believe this place, you can still get a sandwich for $2. They have very good deals here. I think this is Augusta National. It's where the Masters are played.
Is that in Georgia, then?
Yeah, and I know that they came under fire for that very reason. I don't know any of the women that would have been.
Yeah, I don't know if it would have been like pro golfers that they let in for some reason or if it was like a publicity stunt and it's like people native to Georgia.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll just say Hillary Clinton because... or
2012.
They let in Michelle Obama. Famous deceased women or something like that as a stunt.
All right.
Let's say Michelle Obama is the guest.
Let's do that.
We actually also said Augusta just because of Caddyshack, and we don't know the women in question.
Okay, we get to give some points out here. Correct answer is Augusta. This is where they play the Masters every year.
That's insanity. That's a good guess.
One of the more famous golf courses in the world. And the two women admitted in 2012, one of them near impossible to get, Darla Moore, but the name that we know is Condoleezza Rice.
Oh.
We weren't so far off.
Yeah, politician.
Yeah.
Question number two. Again, no category, but a 2-point bonus subsequent to the question. What is the name of the Prussian, that's P, Prussian and German statesman who issued a famous blood and iron speech advocating for the unification of German territories? And in 1871, he was appointed the first imperial chancellor of the German Empire. The 2-bonus point question, if you can name the German head of state who clashed with our answer and forced his resignation from the chancellorship in 1890.
Looks like we are locked in on both counts.
That's bad for us. I don't know. Do you have any idea?
Otto is a German name, isn't it?
Oh, Otto von Bismarck?
I don't know. I just thought it sounded...
That's a name.
Yeah.
It might be a wrestler. I might not know anything.
I definitely don't, as far as this is concerned.
We'll go with Otto von Bismarck. And I don't know. I don't have a guess for the second part.
And let's go with Dutch boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. We said Otto von Bismarck for our answer, and we thought the head of state was Wilhelm. Absolutely screaming against his statements, and we said it was Wilhelm.
Correct answer here. We are looking for the German-Prussian statesman who issued the Blood and Iron speech. That is Otto von Bismarck gave that speech and advocated for the unification of Germany. But he clashed with the Kaiser of Germany, which is Kaiser. And I'll leave some discretion up to you here. This is Kaiser Wilhelm II. Yeah.
You give him points.
If you would have asked for clarification, I would have said 2.
But. Which Kaiser Wilhelm?
Yeah. Hey, we're on the board, though, Matt.
Yeah, you said Otto, and I'm like, I know one, well, two Ottos, the bus driver and von Bismarck.
Question number three. What is the name of the Western-themed hotel at Disneyland Paris? It's also the name of a Native American tribe whose famous leaders include Black Kettle and Dull Knife. And then the 2-extra-point question, I need the name of what singer who was nominated for Best New Artist at the MTV Music Awards in 2010 released a 2015 single with the same name.
We're going to go ahead and lock in for the main answer. The other answer, we're just going to take a Lucky Johnson.
Okay, Matt, do you have anything, any thoughts here?
Initially, I was thinking the artist might be Drake.
Okay.
2010 is roughly when he came onto the scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if he has a song based. And then Cherokee again, because we're coming up. Maybe he was researching Ford models and Cherokee came up and he wrote this question. Just 100%. That's like game theory, what I'm thinking, yeah. Possibly.
I always think of contingency funny answers. When I don't know it. And so I was thinking of Apache and the Sugar Hill Gang, but I don't think that's a little bit before that time, I think. So,
yeah. So yeah, if it's Cherokee, Seminole. I can't think of any other tribes right now.
Yeah. The other thing is I don't want to guess something and then be just like super wrong. And
yeah.
You
want to go Cherokee then?
Sure. Let's do that.
Okay.
And then you just want to guess Drake. Yeah. Let's do that.
We said Cherokee, and we're just taking the Lucky Johnson for the artist.
Okay, unfortunately, no points here. This is the Hotel Cheyenne is what we're looking for. There, a Western-themed hotel in Disneyland Paris. And the MTV Best New Music Artist in 2010, who released a single called Cheyenne, is Jason Derulo. Jason Derulo.
Oh.
Okay.
I don't know how he worked his name into that song.
It's always right at the start. It's the hook.
That's true.
Yeah.
You can start any
song. It into any song.
Question number four. What television show that aired 41 episodes between 2016 and 2022 boasts guest appearances by an incredible list of stars, including but not limited to Jaleel White, Michael Vick, Soulja Boy, and Alexander Skarsgård as a sexually depraved cannibal? 2-point bonus question. What director was given the Emmy for Outstanding Writing for a Comedy Series, the first African-American to receive that recognition?
Yeah, I'm 100% sure, right?
Yeah, we're locked in.
Okay. Any initial thoughts?
Well, it sounds like it's probably sketch, right? Based on what you think. Oh, maybe not then. I don't know.
Well, I don't know that show. So.
No. I'm saying like a sketch type comedy show. That's what I meant.
My initial thought was Atlanta.
Okay.
Based on the guests and those years,
2016,
potentially line up.
Actually, that would make sense. Sorry, I don't know why I was just thinking comedy, because at first I was thinking like Key and Peele, but I think actually that would have come out before then.
Yeah.
So that's
roughly when he left Community.
Right. Donald Glover.
Yeah.
I only saw the first like three episodes of that show. I just never watched it. So, but no, I like that answer. I think let's do that.
Okay.
So we also said Atlanta and Donald Glover. I did watch that show in its entirety, and as it got more and more surreal, I kind of became less and less interested. But good show overall.
So correct answer is Atlanta is the name of that show, and involved in all angles of production there, Donald Glover was the bonus answer.
Oh.
Oh, well, we said his name.
Really said his name.
Give him points.
That's fine. Yeah, I think I've only points. I'm going to award points.
I say before he was known as being an actor on Community, he was a writer on 30 Rock.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep.
All right. Question number five. The X-Men character Jean Grey debuted in September of 1963 under the code name Marvel Girl. She was the original team's lone female member. During the late 1970s, Grey underwent an evolution from the team's weakest member to its strongest, and in a well-known storyline, shed the Marvel Girl persona and assumed what other name? 2-point bonus question to follow up. I'm looking for the name of the actress who played Jean Grey in a series of 20th Century Fox X-Men films.
Okay, they're locked in on both accounts. I think we both know that this is the Phoenix,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's Phoenix, absolutely.
And do you know who played her?
Oh, man, I can see her face. Like, I assume he means the ones from, like, 2000, 2002,
this was in 2005. When they did the Phoenix Saga, and it was really bad.
Yeah, I assume he doesn't mean Sophie Turner from the Dark Phoenix movies. Yeah, I cannot pull her name. I can see her face.
Then you got Jennifer Lawrence as Mystique at some point.
At some point.
So I don't think we're gonna get the bonus, but
no Rebecca Romijn Mystique, but
oh yeah, very different choice.
All right, so they're in for main points, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for Phoenix.
Phoenix.
Yeah, we said Phoenix or Dark Phoenix, and she'll always be Xenia on the top for me.
Famke Janssen.
We are looking for Phoenix, and the movie Rounders is probably the movie I've seen more than any other movie in the history of movies. So Famke Janssen is the woman who portrayed Phoenix.
All right, just closing the gap ever so slowly is 30th anniversary. We're at 141 to Taylor's version, 144.
Gross.
Now 20% more anyone's game.
I say you got this one in the bag.
It is an incredibly close game, and now as we move to the second half of our second full round, you might recall if you tuned in the first time I hosted, I've got a bad habit of doing thematic rounds and not telling you about them, so I don't know. Here's question number six. Which Christian apostle is attributed with writing 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament? He's a polarizing figure for religious scholars, with some, including Thomas Jefferson, Karl Marx, and Friedrich Nietzsche, calling him the first corrupter of the doctrines of Jesus. And I have no 2-point bonus for this question.
Oh, I know what it is. I know what it is, Matt, this answer.
You know the apostle?
Yeah.
Okay, we're live.
I'm pretty sure if it fits the theme, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, we think we have the theme as well. So we got, you stop me, Matthew, Mark,
Luke,
John. Don't think Tallahassee is a...
Paul, it wasn't Paul, like formerly Saul, wasn't Paul, he wrote the letter to the Romans.
Yeah, St. Paul, you would say. Mm-hmm. All right, there you go.
Would you say that? I would say that.
And then, yeah, I also figured St. Paul.
All right, we both have teams both in with Paul, and that is the correct answer. He is attributed to being one of the primary writers of the New Testament. Question number seven. What is the name of Sabrina's black cat on the television show Sabrina the Teenage Witch? The name is important in American or pre-American history, particularly over a 15-month span from February 1692 to May of 1693.
Played by Nick Bakay on the TV show.
Yeah, I do have a bonus question here.
Ooh, okay.
Just when you thought it was getting easy. Bonus points. What is the cat's last name, which he shares with a former Major League Baseball Cy Young Award winner, who was the 1985 World Series MVP while pitching for the Kansas City Royals?
Okay, so we got a Cat of Salem.
Yeah.
And then...
I assume this is not Greinke. Is the only Royals pitcher
I know.
No,
I was thinking Hershiser, but I think it's Brett Saberhagen was the MVP. If I'm correct in the year. I guess his name's Salem Saberhagen.
Okay.
I learned right now.
We said Salem Moon.
Great. And our correct answer is Salem, of course, the name of the black cat. And last name, it was a person who was cursed, and that person's name was Salem Saberhagen.
Saberhagen.
Well, I'm glad we didn't guess.
That is such a pull, Matt.
Take time on that one.
Yeah.
Question number eight. The Beat Generation, BEAT, is said to have begun at what university, where Allen Ginsberg, Lucien Carr, Jack Kerouac, William Burroughs, and Herbert Humke all met as students? A total of four U.S. presidents have graduated from this university, including both Roosevelts, Eisenhower, and Barack Obama. 2-point bonus question. The school was originally founded in 1754 as a colonial college under royal charter by George II of Great Britain, and fittingly went by what name until rebranding in 1784 following the American Revolution?
All right, we're locked in on the first part, and we don't know the second part, so we're out.
All right, actually,
I do know.
All right, never mind. We're locked in on both parts.
Yeah. So we're looking for a school. Probably on the East Coast, right. If it was that old.
Would this be Columbia?
Columbia
University? Okay. Because isn't that South Carolina? Well, South, not to bury the lead too much, but South Carolina's capital is Columbia.
What?
I know. Now they're going to get it. I like Columbia. I think...
And if I'm not mistaken, I know there was a college... Either King's College or Trinity College, I think.
Let's go King's College.
Yeah, I feel like because that's where I think Hamilton went and everything.
Okay. Yeah. Based on Hamilton, we're going King's College.
What a coincidence. We said Columbia and King's College also.
And we get maximum points here. Columbia and King's College. Okay, number nine. An 1803 landmark Supreme Court case that established the principle of judicial review pitted Maryland businessman William Marbury against which American Secretary of State? 2-point bonus question. I'll give 2 points if you can tell me the name of the U.S. Supreme Court justice who presided over the case, ultimately announcing that American courts have the power to invalidate laws that they find to violate the Constitution. So what was the name of the Chief Justice that oversaw that court, that case?
Locked in times two.
Okay, so this is Marbury versus Madison, right?
Okay.
The Chief Justice, I believe, I think this might be John Marshall because they named the school after him.
Yeah, I wanted to say Marshall. I kept thinking Thurgood. I'm like, I know that's not his first name, but I know there was a Supreme Court Justice Marshall. So
Marshall,
Yeah, definitely different.
So we're going to go Madison and Marshall.
Yeah.
Abadab.
We did say Madison. We were between Marshall and Jay, but we went with Jay.
All right. So both teams identifying the correct answer. This is the Marbury versus Madison case taught in U.S. history courses and all kinds of law school courses. The Supreme Court justice, if you just got Jeopardy rules and went with Marshall, it would have covered a bunch of things. This is John Marshall, who is the Supreme Court justice at the time. Thurgood Marshall has a major role in California history, where I'm at later on.
My paralegal study is paying off for once.
There you go.
I haven't used it in 12 years.
All right. Now we're on a roll. I'm wondering if I should have stretched out the theme reference a little bit longer, but question number 10. Please identify the band that sang the following lyrics. And this is from one of the 30 songs off of the original Guitar Hero video game. And here are the lyrics. I looked out this morning and the sun was gone. I turned on some music to start my day. I lost myself in a familiar song. I closed my eyes and I slipped away. And then the two bonus points here. This band, that song didn't get to number one on the charts. They only had one song that did. So in 1986, what 1986 song was their one song that reached number one on the charts?
I do know the song, by the way.
Oh, you know the part two?
We can just lock them in together. Okay.
Looks like we're locked in on both counts as well. So we're saying Boston is the band and Amanda is the song.
Yep, you figured it was Boston, right, Taylor?
Yeah,
and the song was Amanda.
We are peaking at the right time, throwing points out all over the place. Boston is the band. Of course, that song in question is More Than a Feeling. More Than a Feeling. And 1986, their number one hit was Amanda.
And the scores are in before the final round. It's 202 for Taylor's version, and 30th anniversary has 195, so it's still pretty tight. If anybody didn't get the theme, it was Capital Cities, correct, Corey?
Yeah, that's correct. All of those answers were American capital cities.
And we are almost ready to go into the final, but before we do, we just want to remind you to check out our Patreon, right, Jeff?
Yeah, a lot of great perks over there at patreon.com/trivialitypodcast, where you can get for as little as a dollar a month ad-free episodes and bonus episodes starting at the Oakland 5 level and higher. Many of our patrons enjoy the other perks we offer there as well, and if you would consider supporting us, we would be so grateful. Again, patreon.com/trivialitypodcast. Thanks, Ken.
And now on to the final round. What are those categories going to be?
All right, so we just a few weeks ago had the Oscar nominees released upcoming, and I don't know exactly when this is going to air, but I imagine it's close to the ceremony, either immediately before or immediately after, or maybe right during. That would be great. But
I
so
can't
the
believe Oppenheimer won.
The categories here, I'm going to give you, I'll tell you the name of the category, and then I'll give you a little bit of a steering as to where the question is going. So question number one is Barbie, and that's a question about the fragility of love. Question number two is Oppenheimer. That's a history question. Question number three is the zone of interest, and that's a psychology question. Question number four is anatomy of a fall, and that's a word lexicon question. And number five is American Fiction, which is a literature question with heavy air quotes.
Let's just go.
You guys are going all in?
I was going to say let's do the same thing.
Okay. I hate these categories, but yes.
Yeah. I didn't even know three of these were movies.
Both teams going all in, and let's go ahead and get the questions.
All right. Question number one. The category is Barbie. This is a question in the category of fragility of love. And the question, as part of a large-scale publicity campaign, manufacturer Mattel issued a press release the day before Valentine's Day in 2004 that they were unsure if the relationship between Barbie and longtime partner Ken was real or magic and that they were parting ways. Soon thereafter, the company introduced a boogie-boarding Australian male character and announced that he and Barbie were dating. The relationship lasted approximately 2 years, during which Ken was frozen in time and no new versions of him were produced. What was the name of this doll and Barbie Beau from 2004 to 2006? And for that, I'm going to go reverse Jeopardy style. So if you get the first name, that'll be good enough. Question number two, Oppenheimer, a history question. J. Robert Oppenheimer is referred to as the father of the atomic bomb. In July of 1945, he oversaw the first test detonation of an atomic weapon, which was given what code name? It's also a major character in The Matrix, the title of a 1972 Fleetwood Mac song, and the daughter of former NBA star Dennis Rodman, currently a forward for the U.S. women's national soccer team.
Say less, say less.
Question number three, the zone of interest, a psychology question. The zone of proximal development is a concept in educational psychology that represents the space between what a learner is capable of doing unsupported and what the learner cannot do even with support. The concept was pioneered by what Soviet psychologist during the final years of his life before his passing in 1934? Question number four, anatomy of a fall, a lexicon question. Widespread use of the terms fall and autumn really emerged in the 16th century, prior to which the season was typically described by what word that can be used as both a noun or a verb and is the title track for a 1972 Neil Young album. And finally, number five, American fiction, a literature, end quote, question. While Andrew Carnegie is often called one of the world's first billionaires, and while he was known to fund library projects, he did not do much writing himself. But according to Wikipedia's highly reliable database, judging by the metric of maximum estimated sales, who is the best-selling American fiction author of all time, with more than 800 million in estimated copies of books sold?
All right, there we have it. We have our questions. Let's think about these, and we'll be right back.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. We answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas, plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we are back with the final round answers. We'll see who will be today's cream of the crop. So, Corey, take it away.
Question number one, the category was Barbie. And what I'm basically looking for, I need the name of Barbie's temporary relationship from 2004 to 2006.
Barbie's beau, Blaine.
Oh. Jeff was a big collector. Blaine.
I wish that
had a younger sister, Ken.
Oh, I wish that there was a studio apartment Ken that came out at the time to see what he was up to. But there wasn't. We were just thinking of hunky Australians, and we went with Kelly after Kelly Slater.
I was going to say, although I'm thinking about that now, I remember that he's actually from Florida, not Australia. So whatever, who cares?
I did try to jam a couple of clues in here, not knowing whether Ken and Barbie's relationship was real or magic. And then later when Ken was frozen in time, those are the names of David Blaine specials that were scattered in there. So Blaine Gordon actually is the full name of Barbie's boyfriend.
That's a very Australian name.
Question number two, the question was Oppenheimer, a history question. I'm basically looking for the name of the first test detonation of an atomic bomb, also a Matrix character, and also Dennis Rodman's daughter, who plays for the U.S. women's soccer team.
We said Trinity.
We also said Trinity.
Full points to both teams. Trinity is the correct answer. Number three, the zone of interest, a psychology question, maybe back there in the recesses somewhere. Which Soviet psychologist pioneered the concept of the zone of proximal development?
Well, we didn't know specifically, so I just chose a Russian who's in my head all the time, Zena Anatop.
When I think of Soviet psychologists, it's just my automatic response. I say Pavlov, so we said Pavlov.
I like the automatic response. This one was cranked up to 11 midway through the final round. Lev Vygotsky is what we're looking for there. Vygotsky is the correct answer.
Oh, I should have known. Never even heard the name.
Yeah,
that
was right.
What
right
state capital is that?
That was my second choice. Were too easy. Number
four. I think the monkey would have randomly typed the Bible before I figured that one out.
Number four, Anatomy of a Fall. Fall and autumn are terms that are commonplace now, but prior to the 16th century, what word was used?
We said harvest.
We also said harvest.
Both teams getting points here. Harvest is the correct answer. Describes what was being done. And finally, American fiction, which is a literature question. I'm looking for the name of the best-selling American fiction of all time, with more than 800 million in estimated copies of books sold.
Well, we're hoping since Andrew Carnegie was a steel magnet, he might have attracted the likes of Danielle Steele. Oh,
that's a really good guess. We just picked a guy who sells a lot of books because he's all over the place. John Grisham.
I heard the team discussing U.S. Steel and Andrew Carnegie, and that's where we were trying to get. Why was Carnegie there? Author of The Gospel of Wealth himself. But Danielle Steele is the best-selling American author of all time, something we should all definitely be proud of.
That concludes today's game. Unfortunately, not a super strong showing in the final round by Taylor's version. They end at 172, but a very strong showing by 30th anniversary of Chinese democracy. We ended up with 285, making us today's cream of the crop.
Yeah, I know. I'm living in a nightmare, and I am the cream.
Nicely done, Jeff. And nicely done, Taylor and Matt. Good game, guys.
Yeah, you too. Yeah,
we just couldn't get the Barbie and couldn't leverage your Steel Town knowledge.
That's correct. But you had a little edge on us for the whole game, much like the Canadian wrestler. Taylor, thank you so much for joining us today. Any final shout outs before we have to go?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's always a pleasure. I always love coming on, you know, with this appearance, as we were talking about before, I basically have a Triviality bingo card and losing with Matt now puts me at, I almost have a four corners. I just either need Neil to get a nosebleed during a recording or Ken to get a tattoo live while we're recording as well. So, you know, who knows,
maybe it'll happen
next time, but otherwise shout outs, to my wife who's taking care of our daughter upstairs so that I can be here for this, as well as I just want to shout out, Drew's Clues Trivia in Pittsburgh. He writes a great game and if he's listening to this episode, you do a great job, Drew. Can't wait to play more of your games later.
And we couldn't have had a great game today if not for Corey bringing the awesome questions. Thank you so much, Corey. And any final shout-outs from you?
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. Great to be back. Had an awesome time. And shout-out again to my wife as well, who's watching the kids upstairs, to all my friends who helped me along the playtesting process, and also a big shout-out to the graduating class of 2024 from Sequoia High School, because a few of them promised me they'd tune in as well. So as they approach graduation, special time of their lives.
Very good, Corey. Thanks again. And one last thank you goes out to Airwave Media. You can find them at airwavemedia.com. And they're our network, along with other great shows such as The History of China, Movie Therapy, and how about Box of Oddities? You might hear something with them coming up soon on Triviality and vice versa. So looking forward to that. And without further ado, that'll be the show. We want to thank you for listening, and thank you to Taylor and Corey. For all of us here at Triviality, Matt, Jeff, and myself, and Neil somewhere, my name is Ken, and that was Triviality.